Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose. Presented by acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network, and this is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is, there are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the earth. For anyone new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She has also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone. We have a very interesting show planned for you today, and we're going to be exploring the many different types of prayer forms. We're going to be talking about chanting and ecstatic dancing, pilgrimages and mantras, and much more. And we're also going to be talking about how entering into an agreement with someone else is like a form of prayer. So with that, I'll begin our show, as I always do, with our spiritual agreement, which was a gift from my teacher and mentor, Jana Massey. And I ask that you all make this agreement with me, if you will. It goes like this. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together, we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Do you all agree?
I do.
And thank you, Tony, and thank you, everyone.
Josephine, we had a lovely message from a listener in England, and she wrote, woke up and realized your show was on. Managed to catch the end of it. It's just so calming, and it's love from Joy.
Aww.
And we also had a message from a listener in Paso Robles, California, and she wrote, Josephine, you do so much to make this world a beautiful place, and I thank you for sharing your light with us. Love and light and hugs, Carrie. And another one of our listeners was curious to know about the group that was inspired by Gurdjieff, which I mentioned in last week's show. So just a little bit then on Gurdjieff. It's spelled G-U-R-D-J-I-E-F-F. And he was a 20th century spiritual teacher. And he believed that most humans live their lives in a state of hypnotic waking sleep, but that it's possible to transcend to a higher state of consciousness and achieve our full human potential. And there were various methods that, you know, he used to employ this, including music, movement, group work, and writing. And among his more famous students were the Russian philosopher Uspensky and also the famous American architect Frank Lloyd Wright. And if you're curious, there's really lots about his work on the internet and in books.
Well, thank you so much for that, Tony, and also a big thank you to our listeners, especially Joy and Carrie, for those beautiful messages. We really love receiving them, so if you've got anything that you'd like to share, please send it in. It's just such a deep delight to know that you're listening from all over, and this week I'd really like to say a fond hello to the many members of our Step Into Magic community who are tuning in from the state of Ohio. So we really welcome you, and we're so glad that you're here with us today. As many of you know, September has been a month of really taking a deep look into prayer. We started off with the three types of prayer and focused each week on one of them. The first week was the asking prayer of something like, help me. And the second was the prayer of gratitude, thank you. And then the third was the silent union with the divine, where we just sort of lose our sense of self in whatever it is that we love. And today we're going to be covering the other forms of prayer. And as I mentioned, agreements are very much like especially a spiritual agreement, like the one that we do every time we start the show. These are a deep focus of our energy that is in a commitment, rather like we do with prayer. Another form that is very much like a prayer of a spiritual nature is a marriage vow, where we really enter into a deep heartfelt space and come into union with each other, really looking for and supporting that true soul self. Also the relationship with a godparent to a child, where we agree to take care, the spiritual care of the child should anything happen to the parents. And then as well in our friendships, I know in my friendships, I really like to have an agreement for truth and for the highest good whenever possible. And so though those agreements are often unspoken, I think that when we are in friendship with people, we do sort of assume that there will be truth there. And when there isn't, we feel betrayal. And so that is another sort of a type of a deep spiritual heartfelt agreement, which is very like a prayer. So I'd like to share with you a little story that happened in my life. And I'll read from my book, Step into Magic, which is hopefully soon to be published. And it's about an agreement that I entered into with my mother when I was very young. I was only about 11 when she took largely to her bed. She had kidney failure and had a very difficult time. And she often would say to me that she didn't know what she would do without me. And I remember telling her that she didn't have to worry, that I would do the shopping and the cooking and the laundry and the cleaning, and I promised that I would use my body to do the things that she wished her body would do regarding the care of our home and our family. And the following 9 years that came on after that were very difficult for all of us. My mother wound up with foot ulcers and boils, and she eventually went blind. It was all the result of kidney disease. It was a really difficult time. But she did pass away when I was 19, and I'll just read to you now from the book here. It goes like this. When she did finally leave us, I couldn't bear her being entirely gone. I grabbed onto my mother with all my might. I focused all of my attention and energy. In my grief and naivete, I used the full force of my will and refused the entirety of her departure. It is my belief that, energetically, my need to still have some part of her in my life resulted in a small fragment of her spiritual essence remaining with me. Not only with me, but actually in me. From that time on, it almost felt like the beat of another drum within me. It was as if I could hear the rhythm of her drum playing alongside of mine. Years later, I found myself looking more and more like her. One day, my uncle, her brother, who had loved her very dearly, burst into tears when he walked in the front door and saw me. My resemblance was that strong. Then something rather disconcerting began to occur. Not only did I begin to look even more like my mother, but I began to have difficulties with my own kidneys. I sought out alternative medical modalities, which proved to be very helpful, but the trouble kept reoccurring. Wanting to clear this up once and for all, I decided to attend a workshop at Esalen, which is an exceptional personal growth retreat center dedicated to human potential. Esalen is located near our home on the California coast in Big Sur, and I like to go there at least once a year. The course I took was about finishing old emotional relationship issues. We were asked to use our imagination to dialogue with persons whom we needed to communicate with. I jumped in with both feet and decided to talk with my mother, even though she had been dead for 10 years. To my amazement, she appeared to me in my imagination and said some startling things. The information that my mother shared with me came through using her word choice and her personality. First, she reminded me of my long-forgotten agreement at the age of 11 to be her body for her. Then I remembered how at her death, while in an almost dreamlike state of grief, I couldn't bear to part with all of her, and I had reached out and energetically clung to a bit of her being. She remembered that too. Then she went on to say, "It's a whole lot easier to heal a body when you have a body." She no longer had one, so she had left the job of learning how to heal kidneys unfinished. This would have to wait until her next incarnation. However, that little part of her that I had so desperately clung onto wanted to do that work for her, but I had begun to realize that it was just too much for me. My mother also understood that I had plenty to do with my own healing, fully aware of my tendency towards injuries. She knew that my dealing with disease as well was overwhelming. We both decided that it would be best for each of us physically to separate completely, with our hearts open wide in love and in understanding. Together, we terminated the agreement that I would be her body for her, which we had formally entered into when I was so young. Simultaneously, I felt the release of that drum-like fragment which I had held on to since her death. Agreements are like prayers. They engage very focused spiritual energy. And I've since come to know that it's a good idea to pay heed to the agreements that we have made. If an agreement no longer serves us, it behooves us to terminate it. Whether we actually meet with the other person or not, we can choose to do so energetically, as I did with my mother at Esalen. From that moment on, well over 2 decades ago, all of my kidney troubles have vanished, and I have felt free to communicate with my mother anytime. I believe that quite possibly her spirit has since reincarnated. The mystery of life after death is vast and uncharted territory. Yet somehow it feels to me that a part of her, as my mother Rachel, is still accessible to me. After that initial opening of the dialogue between us, I now can hear her voice, practical, strong, and loving, full of good advice and warm with care whenever I desire. To do so, I just go to a certain pink rose bush in my garden that reminds me of her. She's always there when I call, and I can feel her presence in a heartbeat flooding me with love. I'm reminded of being a little girly, swept up in her generous arms and feeling her giving me millions of sweet little mommy kisses all over my body. She'd laugh and say, "Come here, let me love you up." And a part of her still does to this very day. Well, thank you all for listening to that little experience that I had. It was really quite an extraordinary awakening for me, and definitely a part of the beginning of some of the experiences of moving into communicating with deceased loved ones and exploring in the realm of psychic ability with that container of our spirituality to really help us move there. And I'd also like to just mention this wonderful book by Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements, because he speaks so poignantly about agreements. And perhaps you can show that next slide then, Tony.
Certainly, Josephine.
Thank you.
It's a really beautiful story. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you liked it.
Well, I did, and so profound as well as moving.
Yeah.
Just wonder about all the agreements that, you know, I've made that I've forgotten about from my own childhood.
Yes, it's something to wonder about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point of thought. So this slide from Don Miguel Ruiz says, there are thousands of agreements you have made with yourself, with other people, with your dream of life, with God, with society, with your parents, with your spouse, with your children. But the most important agreements are the ones you've made with yourself. I think that's so really deep and beautiful for us to begin to think about. That there are a lot of agreements, and many of them are just fine, and many of them terminate sort of all on their own. Like, you know, I'll do something when I learn how to ride a bike or whatever it is. But I'd love to go ahead and move into a little exercise right now about agreements, and about agreements that we've made with ourselves in particular. So go ahead and breathe and get comfortable, and if you like, you can close your eyes. Of course, if you're driving a car, you'll want to save this exercise for later. And we're just going to engage our clairvoyant center just a little bit by using our third eye, our imagination. So just imagine yourself walking through a door. And this is a door in time. And just let yourself find yourself at a time and place where you were not loving yourself very much. What were your thoughts? Did you make an agreement with yourself about the kind of person you are, or about what you may have thought you needed to do? And then ask yourself, is this something that you'd still like to uphold, or would you like to release it from yourself? This release can be done very simply through prayer. And through the imagination with prayer in mind. Just reach for your higher self. There's something there you'd like to let go. See yourself unlatching, detaching, releasing. bless the agreement that you have released. Know that in some way it served you. And let it go. Now go ahead and begin to return to your normal waking consciousness. Move your body a little bit. Stretch. Take a couple of easy breaths. And open your eyes. And return fully to your normal waking consciousness. So there's a slide, Tony, I'd love to ask you to put on now. This is a Rumi quote. And Frank did some beautiful, beautiful slides for us this week. They're all of the time that we spent walking on the beach not too long ago with some friends of ours. It was just lovely. And this slide says, "Birds make great sky circles of their freedom. How do they learn it? They fall, and falling, they are given wings." And I love that quote because it reminds us that we all do make mistakes. We make agreements with ourselves that maybe seem a little harsh, but that's how we learn how to fly. So how was that experience of the exercise for you, Tony?
It was very powerful.
Good.
It was very strange because it felt almost as if this decision I had made maybe 30 years ago,
yeah,
it felt like it was actually, there was a slight constriction in my chest, which I'd been completely unaware of.
Wow.
And in letting it go, it was as if something physical eased just ever so slightly, as if I'd been holding on to something all that time.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that something?
Yes, you know, on the day that my mother died, I took the telephone call, and there was something in my cheek, in the shape of my face, that constricted around that call. And years later, I was doing some sort of work on myself, and I realized that there was a holding there in that little muscle, and I let it go.
Mm.
And my face shape changed.
Yeah, I'm sure it would.
Yeah. And so that reminds me of what you were just sharing about how your chest opened up and relaxed. And what a great thing to do, especially the chest, the seat of our love, you know, the seat of the guidance of our higher self, of our connection with the divine. Yeah.
And how apt that we got that beautiful picture.
Yes.
The slide and the quote from Rumi. And, you know, and it is freeing, and it is more
freedom.
Becoming like a bird.
Yeah, we're given wings.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. So, as you know, the title of this show is another Rumi quote, and the longer version of it is, "Let the beauty you love be what you do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and catch the earth." Kneel and kiss the earth, I mean. In a way, it's catching the earth too, isn't it? And that brings us to the beautiful prayer form of spiritual poetry. You know, whether you write it or you read it, it can really catch us in that moment of divinity where we are really connected with something greater than ourselves. And one of my very, very favorite poets is Rabindranath Tagore, Tagore. And I love his first name, Rabindranath.
So do I. What a fantastic name.
It is so melodious, isn't it? And he really captured for me a deeper connection of divinity and of a greater understanding of prayer with this really beautiful poem that he has about birth and death. And I really feel that our lives are a great prayer with the mystery of divinity. So just let these images roll over you. Let them open your clairvoyant center, and I'll just read now Rabindranath's poem. I was not aware of the moment when I first crossed the threshold of this life. What was that power that made me open into this vast mystery, like a bud, like a flower in the forest at midnight? When in the morning I looked upon the light, I felt in a moment that I was no stranger in this world, that the inscrutable without name and form had taken me in its arms, in the form of my own mother. Even so, in death, the same unknown will appear as ever known to me. And because I love this life, I know I shall love death as well. The child cries out when from the right breast the mother takes it away, in the very next moment to find in the left breast its own consolation.
Ah, that's truly beautiful.
That's just a real soul rocker.
It's so deep, and it can be, you know, interpreted on so many different levels.
Yes, and that image of the mother,
yeah,
you know, which is the earth.
And we've been coming back to that, you know, for the last few weeks, haven't we?
We have, and it's such a beautiful theme. And to think of, you know, life, we're on the right breast, death, we're on the left breast. What a great image to think. And that, you know, the inscrutable, without name and form, had taken me in its arms in the form of my own mother. That's just so beautiful, because we do have that. I think that's another incredible prayer form that we have, is the eye gazing that happens between a mother and infant,
mm-hmm,
in a healthy relationship. Not all of us are graced with that, unfortunately, but we can certainly give that to ourselves in our adulthood if we lacked it in our infancy. We can gaze into our own eyes with the joy and divine grace and wonder, the pure joy that a mother looks at her infant and that an infant responds and looks back. I feel so blessed right now because my darling friend Loretta has been coming with her little baby Beatrix, and I get to look into those eyes of that baby and just smile and see divinity, because she's so close to having just come from spirit. And there it is, right there, God, right in my house, in the form of a little tiny child. And of course, this happens with all the babies of the world, be they puppies to birds, baby hummingbirds, all the way to baby earwigs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, earwig mothers are such good mothers. They take such good care of their little babies. And people don't even think of that. They think, oh my God, an earwig, yeah, or a spider, yikes, you know. But all of nature is filled with this divine love that just is shared generation to generation. That's such a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, with newborns, it's almost as if there's just a light, you know, emanating straight out of them. And if you see it, then it seems to light you up as well.
And it lights them up, too.
Yeah, and that connection, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, wonderful.
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad you've been mentioning, you know, the spiritual poetry, because I think it often gets a little forgotten that, you know, it can be a prayer form. And I've so enjoyed, you know, the poems of Rumi.
Yes.
And, you know, he's part of that Sufi tradition, the mystical tradition of Islam. And
oh,
I wonder, you know, I feel so attracted to that, you know, as a tradition, because of the ecstatic poetry and the singing, the Qawwali music, which is, you know, full of chanting, and it's really trance-inducing. And,
yes,
and the poems are so full of love and laughter.
Oh.
There's so much humor and delight in things.
That's great.
So I love it. So thank you for bringing that up again. Thank you.
Yes, yes, and I find the Sufi tradition quite intriguing as well. You know, you were mentioning about that, you know, ecstatic poetry and song and trance-inducing, and that reminds me of this wonderful book that Frank and I read some years ago when it came out. It was written by Mickey Hart, who was the N.J. Stevens, who Mickey Hart was the drummer for the Grateful Dead.
Uh-huh.
And his book is titled Drumming at the Edge of Magic, A Journey into the Spirit of Percussion. And it just caught us and took us along for this wonderful romp of the whole thought of entrainment, which is, of course, what happens when we're chanting or doing mantras or sacred dancing or reading sacred poetry. We get into the rhythm of it, and before we know it, we're sort of lost. It's like that image of the little girl laughing and splashing in the waves that I love to share so much. There is a natural rhythm that takes over our bodies, and we just slip right in deep. And I think that's what happens with the African drumming, too. You know, you see the drummers, they are in a different state of consciousness. They are certainly experiencing different brain waves from our normal type of brain waves for our conscious everyday activities. And there's that group up in Marin that Frank was mentioning the other day. It's called Sweat Your Prayers.
Mm.
And I do a lot of ecstatic dancing. I love it. And I've also spoken to young people who have gone to the rave movement. largely based in, I think it started in Texas and moved out to the West Coast. But that was another form of trance-inducing dancing, you know, where you just really get in and move your body. And, of course, what was going on there was the great release of oxytocin, the tend and befriend hormone. That is how we connect. And those raves were all about love. They were all about love, which is such a great thing. And then I also attended a conference a couple of years ago on entheogens, which is the new term for hallucinogenics, which I know is somewhat of a controversial subject. But I like the new term, entheogen. En meaning to bring in, theo, God, into life, gen, like Genesis or generation, entheogens. And of course, it would, you know, needs to go to be said about the sacred ayahuasca or the peyote ceremonies that were experienced in Central and South America. Those were very deep sacred times with the indigenous peoples, and of course, the, you know, the proper set and setting for those with that reverence to spirit is, of course, the only way to do that, I feel. And then some of our great teachers today, like Houston Smith, who wrote The World's Religions, that beautiful book. Of which he mentioned those three types of prayer in his book that I mentioned earlier, which I think were so beautiful. It was published in 1958, The World's Religions, beautiful book. And Ram Dass, who, you know, he had his wonderful journeys throughout India and really studied with Hinduism, and I love the way he sometimes called himself a Buddhist Christian Hindu or Islamic Buddhist Christian Hindu. He, you know, enjoyed all the different religions. And they both certainly did their exploration with entheogens to help open themselves to greater levels of spirituality. But some people, myself included, really feel that no substances is best. That's really the way I like to do. And I've really taken it to a further state where I don't even like to have chocolate, sugar, coffee, alcohol, white flour, white rice in my body because I feel the differences of those. And I really wanted to explore for myself what it was like to just be human. To just really use our own human capacity for reaching far into our spiritual development. And so that's sort of been my path, and I encourage anybody else to do that path as well. And it reminds me a little bit of the vision quests and the fasting that were common for the Native American people, the indigenous people of North America here, that we hear so much about, where they would really go out and cleanse themselves and remove their bodies of even any scent through their fasting with just drinking water and then meditating, basically, to receive answers from on high. It's really beautiful.
Oh, that's so interesting, Josephine. I mean, you know, I hadn't thought of that, but, you know, so many people, you sometimes talk about Aldous Huxley, and I remember his book, The Doors of Perception, where he talks about taking mescaline.
Yes.
And that seemed to have the spiritual awakening effect on him. And I'm reminded of when I was at college, lots of my friends read Carlos Castaneda, and he writes at length about, what's the word, is it entheogens?
Yes.
Entheogens, and how they're used in indigenous Mexican traditions for spiritual awakening. It's a truly fascinating topic. Maybe one day we'll get to do a show on it. Soon we have someone who's called in right now and who would like to speak.
Oh, great. How wonderful.
Okay. Here we go. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is that me?
Yes, I think so.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Josephine. Hello. This is Asuncion in Seattle, and I think I've talked to you before. So I really wanted to catch this because these agreements that you're speaking of. So I believe I recognize my agreements with others. Not so sure I recognize the agreements with myself.
Yes.
So, but with others, in particular one person,
yeah.
It seems to be never ending.
Uh-huh.
So I've had, you know, I always assume that it's always for my greater good, and that eventually there'll be a release. But I would like to have that release to happen sooner. So I wondered how you would go about it, you know, in a more, I mean, I I try and be, how should I say, understanding, very, very understanding of the very complex situation that I'm in.
Yes.
But there are times where I've just turned 60,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've been with this person 34 years,
mm-hmm.
very tumultuous 34 years. So, you know, I'm looking for peace. And
yes.
I've come to peace with the fact that, you know, the situation was chosen, it was for my highest good, but I'm finding that I want to put an end to it, and I'm not sure exactly how to do that.
Yeah.
So, there we go.
Oh, thank you, Ascension, for calling in and sharing your heart so deeply. I really appreciate it. And this is a very good, good question. And what I always like to think of is that when we take action in spirit, we often will see action in real life. And when we take action in real life, we see changes in action in spirit. Rather like you've probably heard me talk about in the dream shows, where if we make changes lucidly in our dream state, then our waking life changes. Or if we make changes in our waking life, our dream life changes to reflect those changes. And so certainly beginning, as you, it sounds like you've already done, where you have asked for release is a great idea. And then imagining the release, seeing it becoming your reality is another great idea. But sometimes we also need to take action where we need to actually make a change, where we need to say something or make a move or relocate or call upon our friends or our allies for help or support. All of these are good things to do. These are actions that we can take that create a change in the spiritual environment and also in the physical environment. And so that is not a bad place to start. And then, like I said, I love calling on my friends. I find that my friends have helped me every step of my life, every bit of my life that I, every movement or change that I've taken, I've had friends there who have held out a welcoming hand. And sometimes they're not the ones that you would expect.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're the ones that are actually standing there with the invitation, and we have just for whatever reason not thought that they were the one, and so we haven't taken that invitation. It can sometimes come in a way that we don't think it will be, but there it is. And it can be a simple little invitation, and that often is the way that we can go and find a path of ease and grace. I'm reminded of that joke, though this is not really a joking matter, but that, you know, tail of the water was rising and the man is up on his roof and along comes a boat and he's praying for God to help him and he says, no, I've got help coming, you know. And then pretty soon a helicopter comes and he says, no, thanks, I've got help coming. And he finally says, God, why haven't you said any help? He said, well, I sent you a boat and a helicopter.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't often recognize the help that is there for us, but it is always there for us.
Yes.
So I would encourage you to take a look at what resources and assistance you already have and then accept those invitations and move in that direction.
Okay.
And I'll just ask all of our listeners today to just join you in seeing you, finding and really being in that place of peace and really allowing an end to the tumultuous aspect of this relationship and finding peace within for both you and for your partner of 34 years.
Yes.
So peace within. Yes.
I like that. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining in with us and seeing that for Ascension.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks so much for calling again. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you, Justine.
You're welcome. My pleasure. All right, then. Talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, have a lovely evening.
You too.
I will. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was quite a moving call.
Yes, it was.
And thank you so much for your answer. I'm sure there's much for me to take from that.
Yeah, help is all around us. Help is always there. And then, you know, seeing within ourselves, just seeing what we want is really good. And taking action is good, too. One last little comment on that thought is that prayer is one of the best forms of action that we can take. And I think I've mentioned on one of the earlier shows this month how one of my favorite asking prayers is, "Angels, hear now." It's with my sense of command, and I will often do that silently in times where I am in the midst of turmoil or find turmoil around me or something is happening that I am concerned about and I don't know exactly what kind of action to take. I'll just affirm, "Angels, hear now," and that just calls their energy to us. So that little addition on there. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Josephine.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So, we mentioned earlier about the Sufis, and they have that...
Well, Josephine, just before you begin that, we do actually have another caller on the line.
Oh, do we?
And I'm just thinking maybe we're in a calling part of the show.
Okay.
Should I invite them on?
Yes, please do.
Oh, excellent.
That'd be wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Welcome.
Hello, it's Tony. This is Amalia.
Oh, hello, Amalia.
Hi.
Nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Amalia. Thanks for calling in.
Josephine.
So
thank
nice
you
to
for
hear
taking
your
my,
voice.
Thank you for taking my call. And
sure.
Yeah, you know, I like to talk a lot. Well, I just thought in many ways of prayer, and I was thinking about sharing some things I have learned in the Andes of Peru.
Oh, please do.
And it is, I don't know if it's appropriate this, but it's mostly about the earth.
Yeah.
You know, how do we connect, how do we honor the earth, how do we ground and all that. So I had like these four different ideas.
Please.
You know? And one way to connect our energy with the vibration of the earth, it is to have taken off our shoes. And being in the grass or in the water.
Yeah.
Water is big, it's big, you know, river or, you know, natural springs. And, you know, because if you think about indigenous people from the world, what were the material of their shoes made of? Mostly animal skin, you know, which is a conductor, you know, it goes through it. And because we are just an extension of the earth and we're, you know, principal, important tools for the earth process of kind of, you know, evolving. So that way we can you know, really connect with the essence of the earth and with the vibration of the earth, you know, that way taking off shoes.
Yes,
the
wonderful.
Other thing it is being very careful in what we eat.
Yeah.
I think we're coming, you know, in the big picture evolution of the planet, of consciousness of the earth, to a much lighter state of being. And so our bodies, perhaps at some point we will change to, you know, in our ways of how we eat, you know, choosing perhaps seeds, nuts, fruits, vegetables, maybe some fish, whatever our bodies are asking, but, you know, not to keep too dense, you know, like with meat, you know, that will be too dense.
Yeah.
So that will help us a lot to go towards the light, you know.
Yes, I think so.
Kind of in a foods and cellular level. The other thing I learned, it is breathe 2, 3, 4 times a day. Just breathe that prana from the air, you know, breathe in, deep breathing, because we breathe like little rabbits, you know, short breathe. So we need to remember breathing. It's a sort of prayer, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing, it is always smile. Don't be long face. Share that smile. Share that contentment, that joy with others. Not just other people, with all our relations, you know?
Yes.
With trees, with flowers, and sing, you know? It sing along, sing, drum, you know, play the drums, whatever. And all this, you know, it makes, it changes the frequency of the land where you are, you know?
Oh, yes.
Talk to the stones, talk to the birds, talk to the flowers, and...
Yes.
Yeah, and create, you know, always create ways to be happy and share that happiness with others around you. That's the only thing we can do, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's all I want to share.
Oh,
thank
that
you.
Is beautiful, Amalia. Thank you so much. Oh,
I
love
enjoy
it.
Your show. Thanks for doing what you're doing, Josephine.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
You, Amalia. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful, beautiful message. And I love that about being happy and sharing it and talking to the stones and the birds and the flowers. What a beautiful prayer. And just the prayer of breathing in. That is a lovely prayer form. Thank
yeah.
you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's a delight. Thanks, Amalia.
Huh.
Wonderful, huh?
That was wonderful. And Josephine, we actually have... we had another caller, but it looks like they've just disappeared.
Oh, did they?
They did. Well, maybe they'll call back.
Oh, I hope so. How great. This is really fun. Well, so yes, we were talking about the Sufis a little bit ago, and I have always been so captivated from the first time I ever saw the images of the Sufi dancers, the whirling dervishes. And that's, of course, another phrase that I remember hearing in my childhood that was so intriguing. What is a whirling dervish, you know? And when I finally saw them dancing, I was, oh, just really captivated by that. And they rotate on the one foot. They have these weighted robes, they're white robes, and they rotate on the one ball of the one foot, which remains relatively still on the floor while the other foot is moving around and keeping the time beside them, and just around and around they go. And I understand that the camel hair's coat that, or the camel hair hat that they have on, symbolizes the tombstone of the ego. And the wide white skirt signifies the shroud of the ego. And when they take off their black cloaks, when they begin, they are spiritually reborn. And when they whirl, they keep their arms open with the right arm pointing to the sky, testifying to God's unity and welcoming his gifts. And then the dancers fix their eyes on their left hand, which is turned toward the earth. Another prayer right there. And then whirling from right to left around the heart, the dancer embraces all humanity with love. I just think that's so beautiful. They just affirm that we are created with love, and we are love. And so with that, Tony, maybe you can show our next slide, which is another beautiful Rumi quote, a Sufi poet. And he says, "All loves are a bridge to divine love, yet those who have not had a taste of it do not know." Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, the thing about Rumi is just endless. He's wrote so much. And
I know.
So much wisdom, so much inspiration, so much insight, and so much love. I mean,
so much
at the
love.
Bottom of all of it, you get there's a feeling of that he loves everyone and everything, and that's what's motivating those words. That's where they come from.
Yeah, and that, as I've shared on the show, is to me, that's what God is. God is love. It's that... you know, ultimate mystery and the mystery of love and just moving into it.
Josephine, we do have another caller on the line.
Oh, great.
Okay, I'll invite them on.
Great.
Welcome.
Oh, hello, Tony.
Hi.
Oh, is this you, Frank?
Yes, it is.
Hi, sweetheart. Thanks for calling in. What a nice treat.
Oh,
this
when you're talking
husband,
about...
my everybody.
When you were talking about entheogens, it reminded me that, Stanislav Grof, he wanted a way that he could get to those states without taking drugs. And so he worked on a modality called holotrophic breath work.
Oh, yeah.
And I had some experience, not particularly with that, but something very similar with a colleague of his. I was up in the Mendocino woodland with Jack Kornfield and James Hillman and Michael Mead and Melodoma Somme, and we were doing burial rituals in the redwoods for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack had us doing meditation by a creek one day, and then he had us basically hyperventilate while we were sitting there. And so for about 5 minutes, we were to breathe as hard and as fast as we could.
Wow.
And after, and I think it was 5 minutes, it could have been more. But at the end of that, everybody there was in quite an altered state. You know, some men would just fell over sideways, and some were crying, and some were laughing, but we were not the same as when we sat down. And so I think that's just another way of getting out of your rational mind and your controlling mind, and getting your body and self into an ecstatic rhythm where you can join with the oneness.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. Gosh, thanks, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, and moving into the oneness is what we're about here, is about trying to allow ourselves to find that union with divinity. What a wonderful experience.
Yeah, and, you know, people around the world do it in all kinds of different ways, from, you know, we're talking about the Sufis, but, you know, they do the dancing where they're spinning.
Yeah.
And or people chanting or rhythmic breathing or whatever to break out of our mundane consciousness and unite with the divine.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing. That's really
You're
great.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Have a nice evening.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Thanks, Tony. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, I've heard also, too, of, you know, surfing our prayers. So Frank was just talking about these different ways of we can, you know, and I've heard of prayer circles out in the ocean and using that riding on the surfboard to be a form of prayer, a celebration of life on earth and of our beingness. I think that's so beautiful. And I know myself with my Women of Tuesday, we dance at the First Presbyterian Church at right around 10:45 every Tuesday morning. And we get into states of ecstasy in our dance, and we will put on beautiful music, singing about the divine or whatever it might be. And we just lose ourselves in movement. And that's like what Head Frank had mentioned the other day to me about the group in Marin, Sweat Your Prayers. And I know there's a lot of contact improv movement groups around, and we do have an ecstatic dance movement here in San Luis Obispo, and they are all across the world. When Frank and I traveled some years ago, we went to New Zealand, and there was contact improv movements happening there. And these are wonderful opportunities for us to go into silence and to just dance and just feel a sense, a deep sense of beingness, and enter into an altered state that is of a very spiritual nature. And chanting is like that, too. We, you know, many of our, you know, there are many chants, of course, in the Hindu tradition, but even in my women's spirituality movement, we have a wonderful chant. We're trying to honor, of course, the divine feminine, to bring some of that into the world. And I'll just share with you a little chant that we sometimes do in the women's circles, and it goes like this. It's the names of the goddesses. Well, some of the names. There are many, many names of goddesses from ancient times, but these are just a few of them. And it goes like this. Isis, Astarte, Diana, Hecate, Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis, Astarte, Diana, Hecate, Demeter, Kali, Inanna. Isis, Astarte, Diana, Hecate, Demeter, Kali, Inanna. And we just go through and through and through it, and it's just a wonderful thing. And then, of course, perhaps my all-time favorite chant, John and Paul of the Beatles, they wrote that, all you need is love, do 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 do. All you need is love, do 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 do. All you need is love, love, love is all you need, love. I just think that's such a great chance.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Just sort of put a smile on my face hearing you.
It always puts a smile on my face, too. There was a time when I was going through some of my healing work and when I was working much more quietly in my medical intuitive capacity, where I would take a week at a time, once a year, and spend the whole week in prayer. It was really quite an experience. And I would explore all of these different prayer forms. And what I would do is wake up in the morning and creep into my little healing room, my little sanctuary, and then I would spend the whole day in there, and Frank would go off to work, and then long after dark, when he was tucked into bed, I'd go and leave the room and head into and get a sleep in bed, and then I'd wake up and sneak back into the prayer room. And what I would do all day long was just spend the entire day for 7 days once a year in prayer. And I would do dancing and singing, and I would take my little Tibetan prayer spool, which has a little prayer written inside of it, and swing that around, and I would, you know, meditate and fast, and sometimes I was fasting, and sometimes I was eating meals in silence. I would just, you know, walk prayerfully out to the kitchen. I would pre-prepare salad for myself and eat very lightly during that time, and I would do mantras and chanting and whatever it was that I could come up with to really enter into that silent union with the divine, to really, really jump into those prayers of thanks and thanksgiving. And I would often do that spontaneous gratitude prayer that I shared with us, all of us on the radio show a few weeks back for the gratitude week that we did. And asking prayers, you know, asking for peace around the earth and just, you know, all of that, meditating on the divine, all of it. And I think I shared with you last week about the monks who did a similar practice, well, much more intensive than mine. Mine was very simple comparatively, but they walked the length of the state, two steps, and then they'd kneel down and kiss the earth, and then stand back up and walk two steps and kneel down and kiss the earth, wearing white robes, shaved heads. This happened in the 70s and on the drive that Frank and I would take to and from school, and it really woke me up. It really was a transformational period in my life to see them do that. And I'm sure that was in part the purpose behind their pilgrimage to be doing that. It was really, really something. So I'd like to give a little homework assignment right now. And what I'd like to ask all of you to do is to take some time this week, sometime during the week, to explore a new method of prayer. And just see what you can come up with and have fun with it. Oh, and by the way, Tony, how did your homework assignment go from last week? You were mentioning that you were thinking of finding different ways to communicate with God, as we had in that exercise.
Yeah, well, as I understood it, it was more just to become aware of when we were and how we were. Was that?
Yes, that was it.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, you did.
Well, I think that what ended up for me is a sense that I'm really kind of like a nature person.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed to me that, you know, I would find myself just gazing at the sky. You can do that a lot here in San Luis Obispo because it's just like sky all around.
Yes.
And it's often blue sky. And with the mountains, you know, distant gazing.
Yes.
And then again at the ocean. And also I have this particular thing for trees.
Yeah.
And I find myself just gazing at a tree and getting kind of like lost in the tree. And when I do that kind of thing, whether it's the sky or the ocean or the tree, I just feel a much stronger connection to myself and everything.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
I would say something like that for me, with
yeah.
what I noticed this week.
Yeah. Lovely.
And what about you? Did you do it?
Oh, I did. I did the happy gratitude dance several times. You know, that's where you stand
up. Oh, I do
up
know that one. Yeah.
Put your hand overhead and you wiggle your hands and you twirl around and you kind of jump up and down a little bit.
See, I'm much more restrained. Take me a while to let go of this Britishness. That's an agreement that I made probably when I was growing up.
Probably.
That I always be a little bit more serious.
Yeah. And then I, you know, several times I just gave myself over to God's will, multiple times. And, you know, I also welcome any of our listeners to call in about their experiences with their version of communing with the divine from this past week. It was really a wonderful experience. I love it so.
Josephine, you mentioned before when you were spending that week in prayer that one of the things you were doing was mantras.
Yes.
And so I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite mantra?
Oh, I do. I like the mantra that I was given from my friend Jana, Om Tu Pa, which means all needs met. And it's just so beautiful, the little Om Tu Pa, Om Tu Pa. And, of course, you know, there's so many mantras that people can do. They can use the rosary and, you know, Hail Mary full of grace, whatever, you know, repeated, just really getting into those words. But I'd love to share that little story that Thich Nhat Hanh talks about. He says that a mantra is something that you utter when your body and your mind and your breath are in one deep concentration. And he says, when you dwell in that deep concentration, you look into things and see them as clearly as you see an orange that you hold in the palm of your hand. And then he goes on to explain how a mantra should be uttered. And he gave the following example, which I just love. He said, when two young people love each other, but the young man has not yet said so, the young lady may be waiting for three very important words. And if the young man is a very responsible person, he probably wants to be sure of his feeling, and he may wait a long time before saying it. Then one day, sitting together in a park, when no one else is nearby and everything is quiet, after the two of them have been silent for a long time, he utters these three words. When the young lady hears this, she trembles because it is such an important statement. When you say something like that with your whole being, not just with your mouth or your intellect, but with your whole being, it can transform the world. A statement that has such power of transformation is called a mantra.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I think he really nailed it right on the head. That is
wow.
It.
You sense the power when something is said in that way.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm.
Oh, I just love it. And then Mahatma Gandhi, we have a slide also. Perhaps you can show that slide, and it's another way of saying this. And he says, it is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart.
Oh, that's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, but I love that thought of the young couple sitting on the park bench in silence, and then when the words come, she trembles because it's such an important statement. To think of saying our mantra with that kind of energy is so extraordinary and so beautiful.
Yeah, or just think of saying any prayer with, you know, that kind of completeness.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Well, on that note, Josephine, I do have some bad news for
you. Oh, heavens,
no. Which is that we're almost out of time.
Oh, gosh. I wanted to talk a little bit about group prayer and group silence and retreats and the power of that, but we'll just have to save it for another time.
Oh, well, maybe we can start next time with that.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on. I think next time we're on to spiritual growth, aren't we?
Okay. Well, there's a connection there, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
So let me just say then that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Just click on the top link for radio. And if you have a question for us or would like to be included in our weekly newsletter, just go to stepintomagic.com and the contact page. So, Josephine, are there any parting words you'd like to share?
Oh, yes, there are so many. But I'll call it good now. With just one quick little reference to spiritual art, because I just love that, you know, so many indigenous peoples throughout all times have made these beautiful pieces of art on rocks, cave paintings. I think of that limestone, red ochre, beautiful Venus of Lhasa from France, where she's standing holding a crescent moon with the 13 notches on it. Just incredible, representing the 13 moon cycles that a woman goes through, or the 13 moons of a year. And I guess there is one more slide that we could share, which is my feeling about prayer. And I think that prayer can really grace every moment of every day. And to me, and what this slide says, is that prayer is a celebration of the soul. So in closing, I'd like to thank all of you so very much for giving me the gift of your time. And I'd like to finish with this little blessing. And blessings are another form of prayer. And so here is a blessing. As our gifts are given in love, they are received in love. And we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And I'm so grateful to all of you for the gift of your time.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a true pleasure talking with you on the radio. It really has.
Likewise.
And I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about the hundreds of ways of kneeling and kissing the earth. This has been show number P-4.14. And if you've enjoyed listening to our show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. We look forward to having all of you join us again next month when Josephine will be talking about embracing our spiritual growth.
Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. And I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you all so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week. Good night.